Well, as you can imagine this morning, with it being Christmas, we're going to be talking a lot about the Christmas story, but I also wanted this morning to matter to you, to show you the principles that were shared on that incredible day when the Savior of the world was born of a virgin. There are principles that can touch you and make a difference in your life right here, right now. One of the leading causes of stress, anxiety, that when you talk to psychologists and psychiatrists, there are fears that so many people have. Today, there is a fear for just about everything imaginable. People who fear going outside have agoraphobia. People who are afraid of social interactions. People who are afraid of this and afraid of that. But I was struck as I was thinking about this subject of fear, what the great church reformer Martin Luther said. He made this interesting observation in his treatise called Table Talk. He wrote, "God and the devil take opposite tactics in regard to fear. You see, the Lord first allows us to become afraid so that He might relieve our fears and comfort us. While the enemy, the devil, on the other hand, first makes us feel secure in our pride and in our sinfulness that he might later make us overwhelmed with fear, despair, regret, and remorse." You see the difference there? God allows you to be afraid so that He can show you the power of His Spirit, the power of His presence, while the enemy makes you way too secure, only to lure you into sin, so that he may in turn turn that into a great big club to pound you with. You know, fear is a common response to threatening or intimidating situations in our day and time. Some go to great lengths to beat or to run away from their fears. Some take a pill just to try to make them less afraid. And some brace themselves to be strong. I hear people commonly say during times of loss or grief or great anxiety, "I just have to be strong for so-and-so." You know, four times in the Christmas narrative in the Gospels, we're told not to fear. We'll take a look at three of them. Each received what I would call a summons to fearlessness. And this morning, I want to summons you to fearlessness as well. And I'll give you some scriptures that I hope will bring you courage even in the most threatening or fearful times. The first call to fearlessness was to Zechariah. Zechariah, if you'd like to turn to the scripture I'm about to share with you, it's in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. Listen to these beautiful words. "In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by a casting of lots, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Of course, that baby was none other than John the Baptist himself. But you know, just as God heard the cries of Zechariah and Elizabeth, I want you to know this morning that God hears your cries. And there's some wonderful scriptures that talk about that. Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." There's an accompanying scripture that says, "You have not because you ask not." If you are afraid today, why don't you try prayer before you take a pill? Why don't you try going to the Lord who comforts all your fears? Don't you want to go to someone who's bigger than the circumstances creating your fear and cry out to him? He's there waiting if you'll only ask. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious or fearful about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." And listen to this. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then there's a wonderful passage in Jeremiah 29. It starts with verse 11 that talks about the fact that God gives us a future and a hope. And then it concludes in verse 13 where God says to his people, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." We do not have to fear. So we see this beautiful episode of God coming through the angel to Zechariah and Elizabeth, promising them John. And he was indeed born and became a great man, just as they were told. And then we also have Mary, who is comforted to have no fear in Luke 1:26-28. In those verses we read, "In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled," or fearful, "at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." Did you hear that? No word from God will ever fail. It was so wonderful to be able to choose these two incredible songs from our Christmas musical, ancient words from long before given to us by our Lord. And time will prove ancient words are ever true. The Bible says that God's word will never fail. It will not return void. It will always accomplish what he sets it out to do. So we have these incredible episodes from angels appearing to Zechariah and Elizabeth, angel appearing to Mary. And it's so unbelievable that these principles of fearing not. Every time the angel of the Lord appeared, as you can imagine, just like we're about to see in Luke 2:10-14, every time the angels appeared, they had to tell whoever they were speaking to fear not. Can you imagine? We would call it a ghost. We would call it some kind of supernatural occurrence if something of someone just appeared right in front of you, passed through a wall, whatever the case may be. You would probably be pretty terrified, wouldn't you? I know I would be. So whenever that message came from God, the recipient was told to fear not. Because God calls us to faith, not fear. God calls us to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Why? Because God is all-powerful. God gives us victory, just as Jesus didn't stay dead when He was resurrected from the grave after giving Himself as a sacrifice for all sins of mankind, past, present, and future. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, gave all that He had, but He didn't stay in the grave, did He? He gained victory over sin, death, and hell. In Romans 8:31, Paul writes, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is, and I want to tell you this morning that God is for you. God loves you. He gave everything He had so that you could have a right relationship with Him. He desires to call you back to Himself and remind you of those ancient words and to tell you to fear not. But in our main passage this morning, I wanted to share when the angels appeared to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, we read these unbelievable words. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" Here in this unbelievable passage, in this incredible episode, on the night that Jesus Christ was born, we read about the star that was in the heavens. And I'm sure that as the shepherds stood in that field, they were looking at that star in amazement because they had never seen a light in the sky that looked anything like it. So as they were standing there gazing into the heavens, all of a sudden a single angel appears and says these incredible words, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then, after He delivers that initial message, a heavenly host, thousands, perhaps even millions of angels appear in the sky singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." I want to ask you this morning, how many of you need God's peace today? How many of you have been through so much tumultuous circumstances in your life, have been through so, whether it's an illness or a financial crisis or a relationship problem or legal struggles, whatever the case may be, I believe that God wants to say to you, "I will give you peace. Fear not." The Savior eliminates fear. Do not be afraid. In Proverbs, God's Word says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a good thing to fear God, for you can't be saved until you at least have a healthy fear of God, a holy respect. When you come face to face with your own sinfulness and His holiness, when you agree with His Word that God is perfect, God is righteous and He is holy, and we are sinful and flawed and fallible. As the psalmist writes, we are dust. When you come face to face with that, then you have this fear. So if we are called to fear the Lord, what does the Bible mean when it says, fear not? You know, there was a slogan, and it turned into this huge campaign across the country. No fear. The whole no fear campaign. Remember all the t-shirts? Second place is first loser, and all of these slogans that spawned off of this fear not. And in the South, it was ain't scared. That was the Southern version of no fear. Ain't scared. Yeah, that was Middleburg. I grew up there. I don't know. But no fear. This even today's religion, we're told all about God's goodness and God's grace and God's love, and indeed God is all those things. But we're given this soft serve Christianity, this soft serve religion that doesn't talk about God's holiness and righteousness and justice, and then one day He will judge the world. There's a balance that needs to be maintained. Believe me, I love telling you all about how much God loves you and He cares for you and how He wants to give you peace and joy and hope. But until you come face to face with the fact that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that journey, when you realize how holy God is, and that as Isaiah said, woe unto me, I am a sinful man. When you come to the place where you recognize your need for a Savior, you have to know you're lost before you can admit you need to be found. We've lost our awe, our reverence for the Almighty God. His name is spoken in vain because people don't fear God. Our older folks remember a time when lost people had more respect for the name of God than a lot of so-called Christians do today. They refer to God as the man upstairs, or believe He's like some old man with a long white beard and a rocking chair, just kind of winking at our human indiscretions. God is far from that, dear friend. He is the Creator. He is the all in all. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all present. And the beautiful thing that the Word of God tells us is that if you refuse to fear the Lord, you have to fear everything else. Why do we have so many phobias? Why do we have so many fears? Because our culture today steers us away from a healthy fear of the Lord, and therefore we have to fear everything else. But the opposite of that is also true. Even more so, if we choose to fear the Lord, we don't have to fear anything else. If God be for us, as we read in Romans 8:31, who can be against us? Hebrews 10:31 says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But you say, wait a minute, I thought He was a God of love. Yes, that's why, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's why that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. But first, you must fear the Lord, know who He is, and then you can recognize your need for a Savior. When you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. Luke 12:6-7 says, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet none of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God indeed loves you. He knows everything about you. And He's calling you to fear Him so that you don't have to fear anything else. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Just imagine if your life today was transformed to give you power, love, and a sound mind that looks to God, the author and the finisher of not only our faith, but our life. That doesn't mean that you won't go through difficulty. That doesn't mean that you won't go through trial, but that transforms your attitude about those trials. When difficulty strikes, you don't have to sit in a dark corner wringing your hands saying, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" Satan wants you to be there. He wants you to be cowering in fear. But if you believe perfect love casts out fear, then you can look to God and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know what's going to happen next, but you do, and I trust you. So Lord, if you're not going to deliver me from these circumstances, help me through them." And that's when he says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We learned in our study of the book of Hebrews that God's rest is his best. God has a best for you. Did you know that? That doesn't mean that you can't take detours. You know, there's lots of detours that lead absolutely nowhere. There's lots of detours that go to dead ends. There's a lot of detours that go off of a cliff. But I want to tell you something this morning. No matter how many times you've detoured off God's plan for your life, no matter how many times you've ventured down the wrong road and that's led to horrible things that you never intended, no matter how many mistakes you made, there is a Redeemer who was born of a virgin who loves you and died for you and rose again and now is at the right hand of the Father and says, "Will you come? Will you accept what I have done just for you?" When you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. You know, that angel that came said, "I bring you good news of great joy." That good news banished fear. It chased their fear right out of their lives, out of their minds. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you today, is to chase the fear right away. Not only does the Lord eliminate fear, but he equips you with great joy. See, here's what God does. When he takes something out of your life, he replaces it with something better. Amen. When he delivers you from a habit that is taking away your life or taking away your time or robbing you of joy, he wants to replace it with something better. So he eliminates the fear to replace it with joy. Good news of great joy. Jesus' coming would bring so much joy that it affected even that baby. Remember Elizabeth and Zechariah, when Elizabeth was told by Mary that she was pregnant with Jesus Christ, the Bible says that John the Baptist, who was still inside Elizabeth's womb about 6 months along, leapt for joy. Have any of you ladies, of course, when you're carrying a baby, you feel those kicks, don't you? Well, this wasn't just a little boom. This was a whoa. I mean, you could see that baby leap for joy inside. Why? Because John the Baptist was the one who would say, be a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." It was going to be John's job to go out into the highways and the hedges of Jerusalem and in that surrounding area in Galilee and telling them that the Messiah was coming. And if they would just believe, they could have a personal relationship with God. Luke 1:14 says, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." How many of you are here this morning and joy and gladness have left your life? You wake up each morning dreading what's going to happen, or dreading what you have to do. You're afraid. I want to tell you that if you will replace the fear of this life with the fear of the Lord, he'll give you the ability to not have to fear anymore. The Bible also tells us about the wise men. The wise men, the scholars, the astronomers from the East. Now, it's kind of tickled me that in our little nativity sets and even on my tie right here, it shows the wise men at the birth of Jesus. Well, the fact of the matter is, those wise men, they didn't have cars. They didn't have planes. They didn't have modes of rapid transit to get from where they were in the Far East to the Middle East. They had to travel. So it would have taken them about 2 years. So when they actually presented Jesus with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, Jesus would have been about 2 years old. So if you want your nativity set to be a little bit more accurate, put your wise men at the other end of the table, you know, kind of making their way to the birth of Jesus, and then they'll be a little bit more correct. But the wise men were told in Matthew 2:10, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Why? Because they knew that that star meant something very, very important, and they wanted to come and see what was causing all this. The good news is the gospel itself, that if anyone will call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. If you will believe, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the good news today. That's the good news that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on Calvary's cross, and rose again so that you might know that. Joy in this life comes from a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high." John 15:11 says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." It's God's desire today to replace your fear with faith, to eliminate the fear and bring you good news of great joy. The angel brought good news that day and traded in people's fears for faith and joy. The question today is simple. Will you allow God to make that transaction in your heart and in your life? Will the fear that you have be replaced with good news of great joy? Perhaps you accepted Christ earlier in your life, but you've wandered away. I want you to know that the Savior's arms are always open and ready to receive you back to Himself. Whatever's going on in your life, regardless of where you've been or what you've done, there is forgiveness. You can replace your fear and swap it out today for something much, much better.